Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 45. If you don't have a Bible with you, check under the seats. Open up. In Gospel of John, chapter 11, starting with the 45th verse. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did. They put faith in Him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our places and our nation." Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for the nation, but for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village named Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all?" But the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report him so they might arrest him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we look at something like this, and it's sometimes very difficult to see that part which is encouraging, that part which we can use for applying to our life and how we should live. So Lord, we ask today that you would open our eyes to see that you send the Holy Spirit just to guide and direct us here, to encourage us even through this discouraging word. Father, we pray right now that as I preach, I would preach not out of some self-righteousness, not out of some self-knowledge, but instead, Lord, might I preach out of your anointing and out of your filling. And Lord, might I indeed preach your word and no others. Father, I ask that that which is spoken here, which will be found to be strengthening for each person who's here, and encouragement for those who are discouraged. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. They plotted to take his life. And what was his crime? He's running around doing all these miraculous signs. They even called them miraculous signs. What is a miracle? It's a road sign from God saying, "I'm this way." It's God intervening in the natural, the supernatural intersecting with the natural. That's a miracle. And they recognized such. They knew such. They knew that God was using Jesus, that God was blessing him. And they plotted against him, and thereby, even though they weren't believing or accepting that Jesus is and was and always shall be God, they just didn't accept it. They didn't believe it. But they didn't even believe God's blessing. They saw it, but they didn't believe the import of it. That it was God's will that this would go on. They thought that they knew better. By plotting against Jesus, they plotted against God. And they felt, we know better. We know what should be done. Because if this goes on, if this man Jesus keeps running around the countryside performing miracles, everybody's going to go over to see him. And you know, the Romans are going to see this, and then they're going to become afraid. They're going to say this needs to be put down, and they're going to come and they're going to take away all the freedoms that we do have right now. Our ability to rule our people right now with as little Roman involvement as we have, that's going to be taken away from us. Our place is going to be taken. Our very country shall become nothing but an oppressed people. I mean, the Romans were very light with their hand over Israel at that time. They were allowing the people to be governed indirectly. So the Roman governor was over the top, but then they allowed the Jewish Sanhedrin to govern the people there as an intermediary. So this was a political thing as far as they were concerned. They were discounting the reality of God and His power entirely. They were saying that Rome is more powerful than God. That what God is doing here, Rome is going to be able to put an end to it. And not only put an end to that, but put an end to us. If we allow this to continue. That's what they were doing. They were plotting against God. But you and I would never do that, of course, would we? I know, would never do this. I maybe have done it a little bit. You know, I've said, you know, God, I know what's best here. I didn't use those words. Yes, I did. I know what's best. I think it should be this way. I should do this or I should do that. Some of us are really stubborn. God used a Massey Ferguson tractor to get my attention. I don't know what He's going to use to get yours. He did indeed. Use the very Roman people, the Roman soldiers, to get the attention of the Sanhedrin later. A few years later, the whole city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Somebody else who plotted against God and that type of thing said, I know better and I'm going to do things my way, was Nicodemus. Nebuchadnezzar. They both start with an N. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the man who God used to lay low the people of Israel because of their disobedience. And Daniel spoke to him and said, the Lord's going to take you down because you're going to raise yourself up and say that you're equal with God. And He's going to knock you down. And He caused him to act like a beast for, I believe it was 7 or 8 years. He was eating grass and running around crazy, naked in the wilderness. Before his sanity was restored. Now, why am I talking about King Nebuchadnezzar with the same people as the Sanhedrin? Well, both were used of God. Even though they were planning against God, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to oppress God's chosen people and was placing himself even above God. The Sanhedrin were seeking to plot and kill God Himself, God's Son, Jesus. They were chasing after Him. Yet, even in the midst of that, God used Caiaphas, who was the chief priest that year, to speak prophetically that one would die that the whole nation might live. Those words which Caiaphas meant to be more self-serving, so that my position as chief priest might be solidified here, as was his intent. God's intent was, I am bringing the sacrifice, that lamb, which will indeed restore the nation. All who receive the gift of salvation, which comes through this sacrificial lamb, Jesus, those people shall be drawn to God. That's what God was doing. Now, neither Nebuchadnezzar nor the Sanhedrin eventually, I think, came out very well in the deal. Sanhedrin, those who never turned to Christ, are in this day in hell. That's not a good end. Even though God used them. So even though we seek to oppose God, God can use our opposition to meet the ends that He wants to make. So I got a question for you. Think about this question. If God can use even my opposition to achieve His ends, and in my opposing Him, I can be destroyed, why in the world would I oppose Him? Why? Usually it's because... Sorry about that. Usually because we're stubborn, self-righteous, indignant. At least I am. Maybe none of you are like that. But the fact of the matter is that God will have His way, whether we oppose Him or support Him. And if we plot against Him, He will even use our very plotting for His purposes. The very thing that they sought to do in destroying Jesus, to destroy Jesus, God used for the single most important work of our redemption. It's important to us anyways. At least applies to me. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. See, the distressing part is that in them setting themselves up against God's will, is they set themselves outside of His will. And they were not themselves redeemed. Sometimes we get habitual in our opposition to God. That is not a position we want to find to be our habit. Our habit needs to be one of seeking and following God's will, even though it doesn't necessarily align with what we think things ought to be. The question the Sanhedrin should have been addressing was, we see what God is doing through this man, Jesus. We see the miraculous works that He's doing. Why is God doing this? And if they would have listened to the teachings that Jesus was teaching, to what He was saying, they would have found that answer. That He was coming to bring the very kingdom of God at hand. It was to bring salvation. He was coming to bring restoration to that broken relationship with God. So what you and I need to do is when we see things going in a different direction, we see God blessing something and we're not part of it, and we say, well, if that continues, it's going to destroy what this little thing that I've built. The question we need to ask ourselves is not how do I preserve that which I've built, but how do I get on board with what God's doing? Because when we try to protect that little thing that we built, we are doing the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar and the Sanhedrin were doing. We're plotting against God. Whether that is our intent or not, that was not the intent of the Sanhedrin. They believed they were doing God's will. Belief that you're doing God's will is not the same thing as doing God's will. Please take that one. If nothing else, remember that one today. Belief that you are doing God's will is not the same thing as doing God's will. When you are lined up with what God is doing, that is, what you are doing agrees with what this book says. When God's blessing is upon those actions that you're doing, then you can say you are doing God's will. But if you are doing your thing and you look at it and it doesn't match up and abide by the Bible, and God is not blessing it, but in fact looks to be tearing it down, do not try to build it up. Do not try to protect it. Instead, look to what it is that God is doing and grab on with both hands. When you see the Ark of the Covenant go by, grab it. Hold on and don't let go. Why are we doing Alpha? Why are we going to do Alpha here? I'll tell you why. Because in church after church, in city after city, in nation after nation, people are coming to know Christ through Alpha. It's just the ministry that God is blessing at this time. Back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, there was a ministry called EE that was going across this nation like nothing you've ever seen before. People were getting saved left and right through it. And when it went by, it was time to grab on. I don't know what God's going to be doing 10 years from now. I don't know what He's going to be doing 1 year from now. I don't even know what He's going to do when I walk out of this room today. But I do know that right now, Alpha is a ministry that He is blessing. Instead of us saying, okay, we need to protect what it is that we're doing, or had built, we need to look at this and say, we're going to grab on. God is doing this. We look at the people around us, so we're going to do that. That doesn't mean that we all try to do the exact same thing. God doesn't call everybody to do the exact same thing because we're each different. So Alpha will be different here than it will be someplace else, even though it's the same teaching, basics on it. Why is it different? Because you'll be here. I'll be there for Alpha. So obviously it's going to be different. And those people whom God wants to lead to Christ through Alpha here at Northbrook will be blessed through us doing that. We've had people been blessed by it. Everybody who has participated in Alpha has been blessed. There is nobody that wasn't blessed. Some were blessed more than others. But there is nobody who participated in it who was not blessed. Oh, goodness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessings today. And right now, Lord, we just ask that you would just send us away knowing you and your love. Father, that we would see how you're moving about us, that when we see your miracles, those signs that say, "Here I am, God, this way," we would see them and follow them, so that we might walk with you instead of against you. Consciously or unconsciously, Lord, our desire, we want it to be in line with yours. We don't ever want to oppose you. We don't want to plot against you, Lord. We want to work with you and for you. And not in an advisory capacity either, Lord. We want to follow your advice. In fact, your commands and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.